So far, we have learned about the universal sinfulness. We have discussed that from the passages of Romans chapter 1, verse 18 to chapter 3, verse 20. Next portion we will look into is chapter 3, verse 21 to chapter 5, verse 21. There you can see the justification. How God has brought the sinful man to God. Paul was talking about the sinfulness of mankind and how seriously separated from God. Now Paul turns his attention to the way the sinfulness is overcome. It is very important to note that no human merit is able to change the relationship with God but the death of Jesus Christ on the cross. In this particular passage, we will look first into how justification is affected. Specifically, we will look into passages from chapter 3, verse 21 to 31. And in this passage, Paul deals with the process of justification. He shows that all are sinners and how the death of Christ deals with that sin, so that all those who come to him in faith are righteous before God. After proving all are sinners, he goes back to the content of the gospel. He mentioned in chapter 1, verse 16 about the gospel. Now he is describing what is that gospel. Let us look in verse 21 to 26 of chapter 3. There you can see the death of Jesus Christ. In this unique passage, Paul brings something of the greatness of Christ's saving work. He speaks of the righteousness of God, the sin of man, and the salvation through Jesus Christ. He views this salvation in three ways: as justification, that is an imagery from the law court; as redemption, that is an imagery from the slave market; and as propitiation, as imaginary from a wording of wrath. When we look into verse 21, Paul says that, but now God has intervened. Until now, the argument of the epistle was the natural man. Jew or Gentile is a sinner who stands under the wrath of God. But now something happened. There is something in this word, but now, Paul tries to explain. Paul talks about a right standing that comes from God. This right standing is given apart from the law. The law can show up the problem. It can and does make clear that all are sinners. It cannot do anything more. The law means Jewish law and all other law. The way to God is not the way of the law. The purpose of the law was to show up the problem and the holiness of God. This righteousness has been made known. That means the righteousness is revealed. It is not a human discovery. This is a revelation from God. This righteousness is revealed by God to man at the right time. So that means it was in the secret counsel of God from of old age. In Ephesians 1, 4 to 5, you may want to read that passage. Paul is talking about the gospel as now being manifested here. God had always planned to save people by the way of grace, but it is revealed recently. It is clear from the fact that the law and the prophets testify. This expression means the whole of the Old Testament. You may read Matthew 5:17, 20 to 40, Luke 24, verse 27. The law was the heart of the Jewish religious system, and the prophets were its outstanding teachers. Both were pointing to the fact that the right standing comes from God. This righteousness comes from God through faith in Jesus Christ. Here, faith is specifically linked to Jesus Christ, the one who came to this earth to die for sinners, not a general kind of faith. Here, faith is in Jesus Christ, not in anything or anybody else. Paul puts his faith in the Savior, whose activity on behalf of sinners is so clear, so costly, and so decisive. Then Paul says, all who believe, means not any merit, but through faith in one person, that is Jesus Christ. He again says, no difference, all have sinned. Sums up the condition of the human tragedy. Paul says, fall short of the glory of God. Elsewhere, the glory in Romans is futuristic. In 2:7, chapter 10, 2:7 and 5, chapter 5, verse 2, chapter 6, verse 18 to 21. But there is present glory, for God made his light shine in our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ. 2 Corinthians 4, 6 and 3, 18, and also John 17, 22. This is something Christ produced in believers. So the glory he is talking about, that when someone comes to Jesus Christ through the gospel, that glory is produced in that believer by the word of God, by Christ. Sinners fall short of this. This intention was to share the glory of God. Again, the intention was to share the glory of God for all mankind. Here, the linking of God's glory with man's sin is very important. Man's sin and glory in Eden, in the Garden of Eden, you know that because of sin, the glory departed from Adam. But now, the glory comes back, or a sinner can receive the glory when he comes to Jesus Christ in faith. Now, when we look into verse 24, people who could not help themselves are justified. It is a declaration that on the basis of Christ's saving work, believers are right with God. Justification is brought not out of any man's merit, but it is done freely. It is not earned by anybody's merit. It is a gift of God. And also, it is by His grace. It is the grace of none other than God Himself. Paul's two important words are in this verse to describe Christ's work. The verse 24 contains two important words, that is justification, that is a metaphor from the law court. When the believing sinners are tried at the bar of God's justice, they will be acquitted because of Christ's saving works, which they have appropriated by faith. Or, in other words, legally, all man is supposed to be punished for their sins. As we have discussed earlier, the wages of sin is death. So, but when we believe in Jesus Christ, the death of Jesus Christ, when we believe in the name of Jesus Christ, when we accept His work, or when we appropriate His redemptive work by faith, God consider that as enough to justify us righteous before God. Next word is redemption in Christ Jesus. This has a connection to the release of a prisoner of war on payment of a price or a ransom, or freeing a slave by paying a price. This price was not paid to Satan, as someone says. The next word you can see in verse 25 is propitiation. That is the means of removal of wrath. In 1:18 to 3:20, Paul have proved the seriousness of sin and the wrath of God. Now, what God did in Christ averted the wrath of God towards mankind, that is a propitiatory sacrifice. The sacrifice of Jesus Christ, thus the blood of Him, is the means. Also, this word stands for mercy seat, or means of propitiation, a description of things apply on the mercy seat. That is the blood apply on the mercy seat. Once again, Paul talks about faith. It is the faith in the blood of Jesus Christ. So the propitiation is effected first through faith, and second, faith in the blood of Jesus Christ. It is His blood, not anybody else's blood. To demonstrate His righteousness, the saving act did many things. One is that it shows that God is just. He does not hurry to punish every sinner. The sins committed beforehand unpunished are Acts 17:30, the book of Acts 17:30. When God does not punish the sinner, that shows that God is merciful or loving. But does that prove that God is just? See, in order to prove that God is just, justice demands that guilty be punished, just like the innocent go free. So God must be accused of being unjust. But Paul says not anymore. The cross shows us God's inflexible righteousness in the very means by which sin is forgiven. In verse 26, he says, in the forbearance of God. Forbearance means God's withholding of punishment when He might have inflicted it. The cross shows that the God of the Bible is both just and merciful. He let the sinner go unpunished, which shows his mercy, but that punishment which were to come upon the mankind, he put all of that upon Jesus Christ to prove that he is a just God. Look at Psalms 85:10, Isaiah 45:21, Zechariah 9:9. The person who is saved is the man who has faith in Jesus Christ. This means not simply by person who believes, but the person whose characteristic is faith. Let us look specifically into the word faith. For that, we will look into passage of chapter 3, verse 27 to 31. Paul has insisted that salvation comes only through the death of Christ. We appropriate salvation only through faith. He shows that there is no room for human boasting. Right understanding of faith is necessary if we are to understand the law. If the cross has done all that is necessary, if God has revealed in the Old Testament that human effort is nothing, there is no place for human boasting. In any religion, the worshipper may feel satisfied in his personal achievement. But this is a satisfaction that can lead to pride. Grace leaves no place for satisfaction in one's own achievement. For salvation is all of God. For the Jew, it was a matter of pride that he had received the law. Chapter 2, verse 23, 2, verse 17. So they were proud of keeping the law, or the extent to which they kept the law. To understand what grace and faith mean is to reject the way of pride and boasting. So Paul says that boasting is excluded once and for all. Paul says boasting is excluded because of what faith means. When we exclude boasting, he looks for a law to cover the situation and finds it in the faith. So now let us go to verse 28. Therefore, Paul used the word we, conclude that we, the Christian, we means the Christians. Anybody justified by faith. Justification is brought about in the same way for all, by faith. For Jew or Gentile, justification is by the same method, that is by faith alone. That is by faith alone, not in anything, but specifically in Jesus Christ, in the blood of Jesus Christ. We can do nothing to merit it. We simply receive it as God's good gift, not by the works of the law. Since there is only one God, it is unthinkable that only a small proportion of the people can approach him. The Jews insisted that there is only one God. They rejected the views of the heathen as no more than idols. Monotheism means that God is not the exclusive property of any one nation. Monotheism is important to Paul. That means the God of Jew is the only God or the true God. If he is the only true God, does he belong to one particular group of people? So monotheism is important to Paul, and so are its consequences. It means that the God Jews had always worshipped is the God of the Gentiles throughout the world. Paul has shown that no man can secure his own justification but by the one and only God. This God will justify all the circumcised who are justified by faith, and the same God will justify the uncircumcised through that same faith. Paul is very clear about what God requires of the Jew and the Gentiles. Faith is the only way. So what was the purpose of the law? What is the purpose of the law, or what was the purpose of the law which was given to Jewish people? See, Jews were very confident that the law came from God, and thus it is the way of salvation. But Paul says that all it requires of Jews and Gentiles is faith. It is only as we see God's way of salvation in Christ that we see the true purpose of the law. In verse 21, Paul has already laid it down that the law and the prophets witnesses to this salvation. So the law is the divine preparation for the way of salvation in Christ. But it is not itself the way of salvation. Jesus said that he came to fulfill the law in Matthew 5:17. And he did so in his life and in his death. Paul has been insisting that all are sinners as the Lord does. The righteousness from God, the divinely worked out way of salvation, is attested in the law. Christ's atoning death means the working out of what the law really means. When we see this, we see the place of the law. Thus, we establish the law. To establish a standard of living, which it is not able to produce in those who try to keep it. But as Paul will show later, those who come by faith receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, and in the power of the Spirit are able to produce it. You can see that in chapter 8, verse 3 to 4. In this way, also, the law is established. What a beautiful discovery. What a beautiful point Paul has given in these verses. Let us pause here. And the next class, we will look into verses 1 to 25 of chapter 4. In there you can see justification proved from Abraham and David. Thank you.